The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, I want to warn listeners that you may find the item that we're about to broadcast very distressing, because it is a terrible story, been told powerfully by the survivor of coercive control, Nicola Haney. The book she has brought out is called Stronger, as in what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Nicola Haney, thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
It must be difficult. I know you've done a number of interviews in relation to the book, to still to go back and talk about what has happened to you, because it was quite horrific. And the man responsible is serving a prison sentence at present, but is due to get out at some stage. And how much of a fear is it that he will try and again get legal contact with your son?
I don't believe he will. I honestly don't believe he ever loved him. I believe it was just to use him as a toy or a weapon to try, hurt and control me. So in all honesty, he gave up all access just to get out on bail. So I think that speaks for itself as well.
That was before he was actually sentenced or convicted and sentenced to prison.
That was at the bail hearing. He gave up all access.
When he had been charged. He's in prison for how long?
He was in for 3 years and 3 months.
Is he out?
He's coming out early also, yeah. He's coming out in December, I heard, yeah.
Okay, this is Paul Moody, a former guard. When you met him, was the fact that he was a guard sort of thing immediately suggest to you, well, he's going to be all right?
I'd say a title probably didn't really matter to me. I like somebody for who they are. But I would say, I remember my sister always saying that to me, you must feel really safe to you going out with a guard. And I probably thought, I suppose that is nice. It's just a little bit of something there. But it was obviously the complete opposite.
Yeah, because, you know, they have guard vetting for various positions. You have to be vetted to become a guard. If you become a guard, the expectation is that you're going to be a decent individual to uphold the law, not break it in the way that this man did so egregiously.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very sad. It is very sad, because if you could treat a loved one this way, I wouldn't like to see what way you would treat the public.
Tell us what he did to you. I know it's hard to still to relay some of this, and it's in the book, and I understand it must have been difficult to write it and do it in the book, but I think it probably is important for a lot of people listening, particularly women, to understand what you've gone through, because it is possible that they or others that they know may have gone through something similar.
Well, what would you like to know?
Well, what do you think do we need to know?
I think you should read the book. To me, I feel like anybody can use their imagination as to what violence is. To me, writing it was hard enough to help others. And I don't mind going into detail, but to me, I feel like the book is there to help others that are going through something similar or that know somebody that is struggling in life. But it's not just about domestic violence. This book is about surviving, resilience. This book is about someone that's losing the hope of in life. To me, it's about believing in yourself. This book is just not about that. It's about being sick. It's about losing everything and coming back. So yes, it's about domestic violence, but
it's about your strength to overcome absolutely. That and two diagnoses of cancer. And each occasion you were told it was terminal.
Both times. The first time, yeah, they didn't think I wouldn't have a long left to live. They thought you could make me comfortable. And then the second time obviously was a massive shock, because I was pregnant. I was 5 months pregnant. So I was obviously absolutely terrified to what was happening to the baby inside me, if my blood was going through the baby. Because cancer goes through your blood. So I think I was more frightened for the baby. And obviously I did not want to leave a baby motherless. That's, to me, that's horrendous to me, your mother is everything growing up. So, yeah, I've had a lot of challenges in life. But I've met a lot of great people on a horrendous journey. So to me, my book showcases that as much as there's one bad person, there's so many great people in my life and that have come in my life through sickness and through domestic violence and through so many different things that the journey I've been on, I definitely think it showcases more great people than bad people in my life.
Nicola, tell us though how domestic violence can be more than physical assault. It can be the controlling of your movements and the undermining of your confidence and self-belief.
They just chip away at you so slowly. You know, at the start, they love everything about you. And slowly, they just start picking out little things that they don't like. All the things to why you loved you in the beginning. But they knock your confidence. They make you to not believe in yourself anymore. And they isolate you. It gets to the stage where you actually are doubting your own mind and you don't know whether it's right or wrong. And they make you believe it's you. They're very good at this. And you do. I always believed the only way I could describe it was like my mind, it was like broken glass. My mind felt like broken glass. And I did not know how to fix it. I didn't know how to fix my whole life. I was dying from cancer. I had a brand new baby. I couldn't go to work. I had somebody trying to destroy my life and all my family's life and friends. I don't know how I didn't give up, and that's the truth. But the only reason why I didn't was because my son was never going to live with that monster. My son was never going, I was never going to leave my son on this earth. So that made me dig my heels in and fight to stay alive for my son.
Just a couple of things from that. First of all, how is your son? Was he born fine? The cancer hadn't affected him, had it?
Thanks be to God, no. He was healthy, 6 pounds, 6 ounces. And I kept the cancer at bay till after I had the baby, instead in the breast, which was fantastic. And it's a bit unheard of because it's oestrogen-based. It's a hormone cancer. But I did everything I knew the first time round, and thank God it worked. So unfortunately, I thought as soon as I got better that I'd get rid of this cancer now because it's not feeding the tumour. Where unfortunately, life got harder because the stress, because I was trying to leave Paul. So I do believe, as any oncologist will tell you, stress will make cancer grow and spread. And unfortunately, by God, did my spread when I tried to leave Paul. The tumour was born in out of my breast and spreading all over my body because the amount of court cases I had to go to fight to keep my son and to keep him safe.
And was that made more difficult by the fact that he was a Garda, that the courts would tend to believe the Garda?
Absolutely. As soon as they heard Pa was a guard, he had a meeting out of their hands. You know, I had no voice. You're not allowed to speak when you go into the courtroom, even though you go in with all this evidence. Nobody even looked at the evidence. As soon as anybody heard Paul was a guard, Shia Connor, nobody heard my voice. Nobody believed me. Every story that he told and made up lies about me, he was believed. That's what his badge bought him. That's how much power he had. He could lie after lie. So I didn't stand a chance.
But what was the turning point? Because eventually he was prosecuted, convicted and jailed. So what was the turning point?
The turning point was give someone enough rope, they hang themselves. My mother always said to me, I just believe if you just say silence and don't, like even me and all of the evidence in court, I never return to a message to Paul. I don't want to fight with people. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I didn't have the energy to fight with somebody. I just wanted peace. So Paul obviously tried to continuously to blackmail me and destroy my life and friends and family around me to try isolate me. So he obviously went after my father next and made false allegations in which he was actually blackmailing me, which to this day I'll never understand to why he didn't realise. For all the messages he deleted in blackmailing me, they were all on my phone, which I never even had to hand in. The guards got in touch with me and spoke to me and asked me to meet me. And they said, we know what he's doing to you. And to this day, I will never, ever forget that day. Because that day, somebody saved me. Because I was living in an absolute horror movie. I don't know how I'm still alive.
How are you now? Both physically, in keeping clear of cancer, and even mentally, having gone through all of that. How are you now, particularly when it comes to forming new relationships and having trust in people?
Well, I believe you'd have to be strong to make a documentary, firstly. I've definitely had to think long and hard whether to do it or not, but I wanted to send a message out to other women or men that we don't have anything to be ashamed of. I had to face my fears also if I read out a message in a court room to tell people to come forward. Well, I wanted to show people that give the shame back to the rifle owner because you've done nothing wrong. And I have done so much work on myself. I've stopped trying to like focus on what is it that's wrong with Paul. You know, if he sorted himself out all them years, you know, maybe he could be nice to me. Or I've had the last 3 years of just working on myself and enjoying a beautiful, peaceful life with my son. And I swear to God, it's the best thing I've ever done in my life is sit with myself and deal with the pain. I believe it's either get better or get bitter. And I want to be the most healthiest version of a mother. And I want to be the best influence for my son and show him what the right thing to do is in this world. So I feel, honestly, the book says it all. I am the strongest version of myself that I have ever been in my whole entire life.
Stay that way. Nicola Haney, thank you so much for joining us. The book, Stronger, What Didn't Kill Me, Made Me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.